Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a night sky ablaze with countless flames, families gathered around a towering bonfire, voices rising in song as the winter chill begins to melt away. That is Lohri, the festive beacon that lit up Punjab and Haryana on January 13th. First, let us explore the heartwarming rituals of Lohri. At the center of every village or courtyard, a large fire, called the Lohri, is kindled. Relatives, neighbors and friends form a circle around it, and into the crackling flames they toss rewar, the sweet sesame candy, along with peanuts, popcorn, jaggery and sesame seeds. These humble offerings are more than treats, they symbolize gratitude for a bountiful harvest. While the fire burns, traditional Punjabi folk songs such as Sundar Mundriye echo, and the youth burst into energetic bhagra and gidda, turning the night into a living tapestry of music and dance. It is worth pausing here to note the special occasion that Lohri marks. The first is the celebration of a newborn's first Lohri, a rite that welcomes the new life into the community. The second is a newlywed couple's first Lohri, a joyous affirmation of marital harmony. Agriculturally, the festival signals the end of the sugarcane and winter wheat sowing season in Punjab, and the days after Lohri grow longer, promising the return of warmth and the upcoming Rabi harvest in March-April. Now, why do we associate Lohri with the legendary Dulla Bhatti? The most popular folk etymology links the festival to this 16th century Punjabi Robin Hood, who famously resisted the Mughal Emperor Akbar and rescued abducted women. His daring deeds are immortalized in the very songs sung around the fire. For UPSC aspirants, remember, Lohri falls on January 13th, the day before Makar Sankranti, and is celebrated primarily in Punjab, Haryana and Himachal Pradesh. It is a vivid illustration of India's agricultural calendar, folk culture and oral traditions. Key points for General Studies Paper 1. Turning now to the diplomatic arena, External Affairs Minister Subramanyam Jaishankar unveiled India's BRICS chairmanship logo and theme on the same day. India formally assumed the chair from Brazil on 1 January 2026, and the theme announced is Fostering Resilience and Innovation for Sustainable Development. What makes this significant is the four-pillar framework that underpins the year-long chairmanship. First, resilience, building economic and institutional robustness against external shocks. Second, innovation, deepening cooperation in technology, the digital economy and artificial intelligence among the BRICS nations. Third, cooperation, strengthening South-South ties and pushing for multilateral reforms. Fourth, environmental sustainability, focusing on climate finance, clean energy and climate-resilient agriculture. Remember this, under India's stewardship, BRICS expands to BRICS Plus, comprising 10 members, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa plus Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, the latter four having joined at the 15th Johannesburg Summit in 2023. The 16th BRICS Summit in Kazan, 2024, was the last under Russia's chair, the 17th will be hosted by India in 2026. The chairmanship runs from 1 January to 31 December 2026. For your exams, note the link to General Studies Paper 2, BRICS, South-South Cooperation, Multilateral Reforms and India's Diplomatic Priorities all feature prominently. Now, let us shift to the world of cutting-edge science. The National Quantum Mission, launched on 19 April 2023 with a corpus of 6,003 crore rupees for the period 2023-2031, announced major research milestones in early January 2026. The Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore and the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research in Mumbai demonstrated quantum dot single-photon sources, which are the building blocks of quantum key distribution and quantum cryptography. In parallel, they showcased superconducting qubit systems operating at temperatures just above a millikelvin. These achievements bring India closer to its target of a 50-qubit quantum computing prototype by 2028 and a 1,000-qubit system by 2031. The mission is steered by the Department of Science and Technology, with 4 technology hubs being set up at premier institutions across the country. Remember this favorite prelims fact: the National Quantum Mission aims for a 50-qubit prototype in 2028 and a 1,000-qubit system by 2031, backed by a budget of 6,003 crore rupees. This is a key point for General Studies Paper 3, covering strategic technology and quantum computing. Moving on to the Indian Ocean, the diplomatic reset with the Maldives continued in January 2026. After the 2024 strains, when President Mohammad Muizu, elected on an India Out platform, asked for the withdrawal of Indian military personnel, the relationship has gradually stabilized. By May 2024, the roughly 77 Indian military staff deployed for Dornier aircraft and helicopter operations were replaced by civilian technical experts. Despite diversifying its partnerships with China, Turkey and others, the Maldives still benefits from India's flagship Greater Male Connectivity Project, the longest sea bridge in the neighborhood linking Male, Villingili, Gulhifilhu and Thailafushi Islands, a massive infrastructure endeavor financed by India's Exim Bank. In 2025, India extended a US 50 million currency swap under the SAARC framework, and External Affairs Minister Jaishankar visited Male in mid-2025, reinforcing the neighborhood first policy. Why does this matter? The Maldives sits astride India's critical sea lines of communication, controlling the 8-degree and 9-degree channels that connect the Arabian Sea to the Bay of Bengal. Any significant foreign base on these islands could directly impact India's maritime security. For your preparation, note the strategic context under General Studies Paper 2, India's neighborhood policy, SAARC mechanisms, and the Indian Ocean region's maritime dynamics. Now, let us discuss a pivotal development in the judiciary. The Supreme Court has extended the implementation timeline for E-Court Phase 3, recognizing substantial infrastructure gaps in district and taluka courts. To recap, Phase I, 2011-2015, introduced computer infrastructure and case management software. Phase 2, 2015-2023, added video conferencing, digital filing and the National Judicial Data Grid. Phase 3, spanning 2023-2027, aims for cloud-based systems, AI-assisted case management, paperless courts, Suvavidha centers for litigants, and integration with police and prison databases. A striking figure, the National Judicial Data Grid now tracks real-time data on 250 million pending cases across all courts. As of January 2026, roughly 5 crore, that is 50 million, cases remain pending, underscoring why digitization is not just a technological upgrade but a justice access imperative. Remember this carefully for General Studies Paper 2. E-Court Phase 3 focuses on cloud, AI, paperless processes and Suvavidha centers, while pendency stands at about 5 crore cases. Turning to the energy sector, India's installed non-fossil fuel electricity capacity crossed the 266.78 gigawatt mark at the close of 2025, a 22.6% year-on-year rise, and for the first time non-fossil sources account for more than half of the nation's total installed capacity. Solar leads the pack with 131.81 gigawatts, followed by wind at 54.51 gigawatts, large hydro at 50.91 gigawatts, bioenergy at 11.61 gigawatts and small hydro at 5.16 gigawatts. Notably, 48 gigawatts of renewable capacity were added in 2025 alone. India's target is 500 gigawatts of non-fossil capacity by 2030, in line with its nationally determined contribution under the Paris Agreement and a net zero carbon goal by 2070 announced at COP26 in Glasgow. For General Studies Paper 3, remember the 266.78 gigawatt figure and the 50% share, as well as the 500 gigawatt target for 2030. Now, let us examine a defense milestone. On 12 January 2026, the Defense Research and Development Organization successfully flight-tested the third-generation man-portable anti-tank guided missile, or MPATGM, at the KK Ranges in Ahilya Nagar, Maharashtra. Developed by the Defense Research and Development Laboratory in Hyderabad, the missile is a fire-and-forget weapon employing a top-attack mode that strikes a tank where its armor is weakest. It measures 1.3 meters in length, 120 millimeters in diameter, and weighs approximately 14.5 kilograms, making it light enough for infantry to carry without a vehicle. Production will be handled jointly by Bharat Dynamics Limited and Bharat Electronics Limited, signaling a move away from imported anti-tank systems. This is a textbook example for General Studies Paper 3 on Defense Indigenization, the Make in India Initiative and Modern Anti-Tank Capabilities. Moving to the cultural calendar, 12 January 2026 marked the 163rd birth anniversary of Swami Vivekanand, observed as National Youth Day. The day was first declared a national observance in 1984, with the inaugural celebration in 1985. This year, the second Viksit Bharat Young Leaders Dialogue was held from 9-12 January at Bharat Mandapam in New Delhi, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi addressed around 2,500 youth leaders from across the states. Vivekanand's historic address at the Parliament of World's Religions in Chicago on 11 September 1893, beginning with Sisters and Brothers of America, introduced Indian spiritual philosophy to the world. His legacy continues through the Ramakrishna Mission, founded in 1897 and headquartered at Belur Math in West Bengal. For General Studies Paper 1, note Swami Vivekanand's birth year, 1863, the 163rd anniversary, and his Chicago speech, frequently asked in prelims. Now, a historic judicial appointment, Justice Revathi Mohitadia was sworn in as the Chief Justice of the Meghalaya High Court in January 2026, becoming the first woman to hold that position. The oath was administered by Governor Chandrasekhar H. Vidyashankar at the Raj Bhavan in Shillong. Prior to this, she served as a permanent judge of the Bombay High Court from 2016. Her elevation follows the collegium system under Article 217 of the Constitution. This milestone highlights gender representation in the Indian judiciary, a point often examined in General Studies Paper 2. Turning to the environment, the Nalpattu Bird Sanctuary in Andhra Pradesh entered the news in January 2026. Located near Sullurpeta in Nellore district, the sanctuary is a crucial breeding ground for the spot-billed pelican, nesting amidst Barringtonia swamp forests. It lies close to Pulikat Lake, India's second-largest saltwater lake and a designated Ramsar site, shared between Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. Other avian species include the grey pelican, painted storks, spoonbills and herons. For General Studies Paper 3, remember Nalpattu's role in wetland conservation, its proximity to Pulikat Lake and its significance for pelican breeding. Now, let us celebrate a tribal festivity. The Hatti tribe of Himachal Pradesh observed Bora Tyohar, their biggest annual festival, in the Giri and Tuns River Basin of Surmer District. The Hatti community, traditionally itinerant market traders, hut vendors, received scheduled tribe status in 2023, fulfilling a long-standing demand. Bora Tyohar marks the agricultural calendar, bringing the community together for cultural performances and local governance through tribal councils. Key for General Studies Paper 1 and Paper 2, the Hatti tribe's recent scent recognition and their distinctive festival. Next, sports. The Khelo India Beach Games 2026 concluded at Gogla Beach in DU from 510 January. Karnataka emerged as overall champions, clinching 11 medals, 3 gold, 2 silver and 6 bronze. Tamil Nadu finished second with 8 medals and Manipur took third with 7. The games featured beach volleyball, beach soccer, sepak takraw, kabaddi, pencak silat and open water swimming, drawing more than 1,100 athletes from 30 states and union territories. The event was jointly organized by the Union Territory Administration and the Sports Authority of India. Remember for General Studies Paper 2, Khelo India's Beach Edition, Karnataka's medal tally, and the role of the Sports Authority of India. Finally, a somber note. Davinder Singh Garcha, the legendary Indian hockey player who helped India win the gold medal at the 1980 Moscow Olympics, passed away in January 2026 at the age of 73. He scored 8 goals in 6 matches during that historic triumph. After hanging up his boots, he joined the Indian Police Service, rising to the rank of Deputy Inspector General in Punjab, and was honored with the Major Dhyan Chand Award in 2021 for lifetime contribution to sport. Now, how does all this tie together for your UPSC preparation? Remember the key facts: Lohri on January 13th, the BRICS 2026 theme and its 4 pillars, the National Quantum Mission's 50-qubit target for 2028, the Maldives Strategic Corridor, ECOWT Phase 3's Cloud AI agenda, non-fossil capacity crossing 266 gigawatts, the 3rd-gen MPATGM specifications, Swami Vivekananda's 163rd birth anniversary, Justice Revathi Mohitedia's historic appointment, Nelpattu's pelican breeding, the Hatti tribe's Boda Tyohar, Karnataka's Beach Games victory, and Davinder Singh Garcha's passing. Each of these points maps directly onto the GS papers, festivals, international organizations, science and technology, neighborhood policy, judicial reforms, energy transition, defense indigenization, cultural heritage, gender representation, environmental conservation, tribal affairs, sports governance, and sports history. Keep these connections in mind as you weave your answers and let today's current affairs enrich both your prelims precision and your mains depth.